Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, March the 19th, 79th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Fred Van Vleck. And even found a buddy who's alongside you today.
So with me today, I have Mr. Michael Davies Hughes.
Okay. Why? Is he sitting there next to you?
He is sitting next to me because he will be our new Assistant Superintendent of Educational Services starting on July 1.
He's going to do what?
Assistant Superintendent of Educational Services.
What does that mean? Books?
That's what we get to talk about today.
Oh, boy. Yes. So we'll start with
learn something new today.
Yeah. And I'll probably just get overwhelmed when we come back.
Best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Fred and friends.
Hopefully Michael appreciates that.
Educational services,
I'm
right?
I'm taking notes. Okay. Friends, okay.
No, yeah, okay. Yeah, put that on your business card. I am your friend. See how many you get. Our quote this afternoon, let's see. J.D. Salinger has too much color in his quote. So let's go with, I got this guy's name, is Saki. Sometime between 1870 and 1916. A little inaccuracy saves tons of explanation.
Is that where Saki got its name?
I don't know. I think Saki's been around. Maybe he was a heavy consumer of that product. And that was a nickname. I don't know. That would be kind of cool to have that as a nickname, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Deserved. So I call you Coors Light?
Sure.
Yeah.
I've been called worse.
There was that deniable plausibility. Or is it plausible deniability? I'm not sure which. Oh, boy. So what's cooking in the school district right now?
Well, lots of things are going on.
Your sports auction, how'd that go? It was last Saturday, right?
Correct, yeah. So we had the sports auction last Saturday. We've actually got the FFA auction coming up next Thursday, the 26th.
I thought it was a FFA auction. Yep. I didn't see the dots there.
AKA, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And then, so lots of things going on. Those are actually fairly close together. But believe it or not, they're two totally different communities that come out and support those two fundraisers. So those are the current events that are coming
up. So how did the sports auction go? That was the question.
It went well. It went well. They brought in, although we don't have a final count from the boosters yet, it was over $20,000.
Is that about what they were hoping for?
Yeah, well, they always hope for a lot, but it's a very generous community. And you compare what some of the fundraisers do up here compared to my little hiatus out of Humboldt County and what the fundraisers did down in the Central Valley, it's night and day. This
really?
Community is tremendously generous.
You know why? We're bored to tears, so we go to all these things.
Well, hey, whatever it is, it works. Yeah.
So what? You may as well give yourself a plug on the – on the auction. Unless, do we have one of his commercials in this? I don't want to be. Oh, we do. Okay. Well, never mind. It'll be spoken elsewhere. Spoken of elsewhere. Cool. Cool. But aren't you doing budgets and that kind of stuff this time of the year?
Well, we just finished our second interim report. But I would say the news leader right now for us is we actually had a trustee resign. Hank Beck has decided to pursue different endeavors in his life. He is a retired administrator, and
he finally shook it free, huh?
he finally got out of school, or so he thought. There's another side to that story I'll tell in a second, but he has decided that he wants to move on, and so we're in the process right now of appointing a new trustee for Area 2.
And what I had this discussion with Dan in news, trying to figure out. I don't know who my city councilman is. And we have wards. Okay, fine.
Yes.
Because everybody gets to vote on everybody in Eureka.
Correct.
Now, with the school board, you're not just the city. You also kick it out a little bit.
Quite a bit.
Is there any connection with what the city numbers are? Where's two? I guess is kind of the fundamental.
So Area 2 covers all of Neyland all the way out to Showers Pass to just past Indianola cutoff. Goes into town all the way up Ryan Slough Hill there. And actually has a jog that goes down kind of through, kind of down Myrtle Avenue. And then there's a strip, believe it or not, of land that goes into Booner, right around J Street there. And so it's kind of a really awkward.
So Myrtle Town area. Out to the hills.
Yes.
And then it's connected somehow to J Street?
Correct. It makes a very narrow path up Myrtle Avenue and then widens out around the J Street area and picks up basically where Eureka High School is over to about the Harrison area out to about Booner.
Oh, okay. So it's Myrtle Town, and then if you just extend Booner out.
Right. Because, you know, there's not a lot of students that live in that hospital area, in that strip that comes in there, not a lot of people.
And this is based on population, not geographic.
Correct. Correct. Well, it was based on population at some point in time. how balanced that is at this point, I don't know.
Well, you don't know how fortunate you are that it doesn't cross Booner.
You know, I thought of you when
I
saw it.
Yeah, I bet
there.
You did and dismissed it just about as quickly, huh? How'd Michael, was this a weak moment that you signed on with this character? Is that kind of what it boils down to here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was a great opportunity. You know, here in Humboldt County, and I'm obviously I have my family here. I'm interested in staying in this community, invested in this community, and opportunities within the, I guess, the ranks of superintendent, assistant superintendent are you know, far and few between. So this seemed like an ideal opportunity for me, and I couldn't pass it up.
Obviously, Fred had to go overseas to find somebody that would work with him.
Or you could just say the Bay.
I could, but I won't.
Because, and I may not have mentioned this, because where Michael is actually coming from right now, he is the superintendent of McKinleyville Elementary School District.
So you're not fleeing McKinleyville, you're coming to Eureka?
That is correct. There's really nothing to flee from McKinleyville. So it's more about what opportunities lie ahead. And I think that I can bring something to Eureka City Schools that may be desirable. Sure. I'm not quite sure what that is yet, but...
we'll pull it out of you when we come back. It's 3:19.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck and Michael Davies Hughes. That's a hyphen, not a dot, right?
That, I believe that's what my dad told me. It's a hyphen.
Oh, really? You're a second generation?
A third generation.
Of hyphens?
Great-grandfather and great-grandmother were ahead of their time.
So if you put them all together, you could have a name longer than Van Fleck.
With the space, not with a dot.
Oh, that'd be funny. You got to get a business card, dude, that has everybody having their names on. That would be a riot. Oh, I'd put that in a frame. Oh, boy.
No, great-grandpa was a Hughes and great-grandmother was a Davies.
Ah.
So, yeah.
Okay. That's cool. Your family isn't nearly as colorful.
No.
Fred, no. It's too bad.
No, we have I've lost the accent. Yeah. Many generations ago.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about how you're going to replace Hank Beck. You'd ask, the process is you get community volunteers, to lack of a better term, to step up for the interim of, or the remainder of that term?
Pretty much. Well, the first step is the board has to make a decision if they want to do a special election or if they want to appoint. And the disadvantage of doing a special election is it's very costly because the district has to pay for it all. And the reality of this seat is it's only through November because his term is up in November.
Why bother?
So
6 months?
But what the rule is, if it's vacant for more than 60 days, you have to appoint or do a special election. And so the board chose at one of their board meetings earlier this calendar year to appoint as opposed to do a special election. And so there's a whole process that you follow in order to appoint that includes advertising and et cetera, et cetera. And this actually is a tough area to get a lot of interest out of just because it's so geographically spread out. And we ended up with two applicants that will be interviewed by the board on Wednesday of next week.
And they want it for 6 or 7 months?
Yep, that's correct. And then they can make a decision of whether or not they want to submit because they'd become the incumbent at that point. And there is a political advantage of being the incumbent, obviously. They can choose.
One would hope.
yes. Not always, but yeah, yes, one would hope.
Sure, you should have called me if you just needed you got two folks, so that's dandy. But right. If you're looking like for a figurehead just to fill, something like that, it's like, okay, great, put me on there. I don't care.
Yeah, but you live across.
And then I go out.
You live across the street.
Well,
though.
If it ever happens again, yeah. Including the other side of the street. It would seem goofy to me for that kind of a situation. Why would you want to jump in just as you're starting to kind of begin to grasp something? Now you're having a campaign.
Right.
If you're inclined, instead of just saying, okay, I'll fill out the term because you guys have to have it legally, a warm body in the chair, and I'll vote present on everything because it's really not, I'm not up to speed. Nobody elected me. And let's have somebody step in who really is someone who the community or the area wanted to represent them.
Interestingly enough, Mr. Beck was appointed much like this, almost the exact same time of year 4 years ago. And then
he had a baby term and then a full term?
He had a baby term and then a full term. That's pretty common on school boards because things happen. And
yeah, and the compensation isn't quite up there with full time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you get the two names. The board looks them over. I presume does interviews with them?
Correct. The board actually interviews them in open session. Okay. That is what the law requires.
And then what happens?
And then the board votes on who they want to fill that position with.
Also a public vote?
A public vote in a public session.
And that would be, if the interviews are next week.
So the interviews are Wednesday. The public vote in deliberation is on Thursday. So they get a night to sleep on it. They can't talk to each other because that's a Brown Act violation. But they can certainly talk to themselves. And then the next day they come back and make their final decision in an open vote out in public. And where it gets really interesting is if the open vote is 2-2.
So somebody's out of town,
trustees.
Yeah.
Well, no, we're short a board member, so we only
don't
have
you
four
vote?
Trustees. I don't get a vote, no.
So what's the tiebreaker?
The tiebreaker is they have to have a public open conversation about trying to change the other trustees' minds, and that's where it gets kind of awkward sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that could be grand theater.
Yes, it could be. It could be.
Maybe you should have that open session here in the radio station.
I will tell the board members that Michael suggested that.
Yeah. Well, Fran kind of knows her way around the mic a little bit. Oh, that would be interesting.
Yes, yes.
So I would imagine if it was a high power position, say LA Unified, okay, there's going to be some serious stuff getting thrown around. Here, right. I would think it's almost like a gentleman's agreement kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Or do you sense that
there's
a little bit
been,
more action here?
Historically in our district, there has been disagreement when it came down to the final vote, and it was 2-2. And there are some scars with my board members that have been on the board for a lengthy amount of time on how that went in open session because they commented on how difficult that was to have that open dialogue on why you really should take Michael Davies Hughes over Brian Papstein because, you know, Michael's better looking. Or whatever.
No, or he has a hyphenated last name.
That's better.
Yeah, he's got better. Six hyphens in his name, and he has a triple-digit IQ.
Right. Yeah. Right. At the end of the day, it's political, and the board has to plant their flag someplace, and they have to have a reason better than he's better looking, obviously.
Great theater. It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540227, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Michael Davies Hughes and Fred Van Fleck. So, guys, you'll have Hank's replacement for a little bit during the summer months. Does that impact the budget, whether it's the curriculum stuff, Michael, you'll be playing with, or Fred, your overall? Does the board get into that level, that granular level, or do they say, here's your chunk, or you tell them, here's what we anticipate, and they go, okay.
Absolutely. The board will have a huge impact on the budget because the new trustee will be in place when the district adopts its budget and also when the district adopts its new local control accountability plan, which drives the budget. Local control.
We'll get to that as soon as you're done with what you're talking about.
So the date that our fiscal year runs July 1 through June 30th. And so the board is charged with adopting the LCAP, Local Control Accountability Plan, and the budget prior to June 30th. And so that's what drives how all the money is spent for the next year and the projections into the 2 years following that.
How do you get the number? The big number that you start to play with that then gets broken out or all the department heads or VPs come running and wanting more of?
So our big number is about $35 million. And
that's derived from?
That's derived from several things, but the huge piece of that is the new local control funding formula, which provides us with a base grant per student that's there, and then this new thing called supplemental and concentration grants, which is derived from three different student groups, and that is our foster youth, our minority students, and our students of poverty. And so we get bonus dollars, if you will, for those students. And we have what they call an unduplicated count, not to get too crazy.
No, I got the unduplicated. I know what that one means.
So basically, if you belong to one or more of those groups, you go into the unduplicated count, and we're running close to 65% unduplicated count.
And I would think that we'd be highly ranked in all three of those areas.
Well, actually, if you go down to the Central Valley, you're talking an unduplicated count of 90%+. And those are the schools.
Minority is a statewide standard, not a local standard?
As a statewide standard, yeah. But the one that's really bringing them in is a poverty level. And a lot of those schools down the Central Valley have a 90%+ poverty level. And they're just bringing in millions and millions of dollars in bonus dollars, if you will, focused on educating those three groups of students.
Foster kids. It's interesting you mentioned that. I'd never thought that would even be tracked by the schools, or let alone be a funding mm-hmm. instrument for the schools. But I would think that we must have a concerningly high level. I mean, you know, more than zero is a concerning level for me. But
right.
Is foster kids, do we have an awful lot of those children?
As a number or percentage compared to our enrollment of about 3,600 students, it's small. However, we have many foster youth in our district. And the interesting piece that goes along with foster youth is they get a lot of benefits, and rightfully so. I don't mean this is a bad thing. They get a lot of benefits that other students don't get. Like, for instance, they get to go to their school of choice because they have no real homeschool per se, because they have a tendency to move around quite a bit from foster placement to foster placement. And the local districts are responsible for providing them the transportation to their schools. And you think about what a foster youth has to go through. It's got to be excruciatingly difficult for them.
Do you, with these, I guess, subpopulations, I don't know what to call them. I mean, it doesn't sound like they're people, which bothers me, but with these identifiable
specialty groups.
Okay. Do you have folks on staff that work specifically with them?
Yes. So we have a foster youth coordinator who has other duties with that as well. We have a homeless youth coordinator, which gets into foster youth quite a bit. We also have a EL coordinator, which is English learner. That's the minority students. And the minority students specifically focus on English learning students, students that don't have English as their native language.
So if a kid's a minority, so he's black, but okay, 10th generation Humboldt County black, is he a minority or not?
He is a minority, but he does not count in the English learner population.
Okay.
So that population is really drilling down to those students that don't know English, or English isn't their native language.
It's like the old ESL.
Very, very similar, right? And okay. We have this thing called a CELT test that tells us on a level whether or not they have exited.
CELT, like CELT?
CELDT.
DT. Oh,
yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. No hyphen.
Yeah, California English Learner something test.
English Language Development
there
Test.
There you go. English Language Development Test. Thank you. Thank you.
I should know. My wife's a coordinator for that.
Yes, that's a good thing.
Another district. I'd be in trouble.
Yeah, in many different ways, huh? Yeah. So what is this LCAP thing that you referenced there, Fred?
So why don't I give that one to Michael? Do you want to talk about the LCAP?
Can you talk about that one?
Sure.
Since you know the definitions, apparently, of all the anagrams.
So as Fred mentioned, LCAP stands for Local Control Accountability Plan. And really, it's the blueprint for California schools in determining how to spend those LCFF, or Local Control Funding Formula, dollars. And one of the, I guess, revolutionary aspects of the LCAP is that it involves a pretty significant stakeholder participation. So when we're talking about stakeholders, we're talking about your parents and community members. We're talking about bargaining groups. We're talking about some of those special populations that Fred mentioned. They have to be at the table to provide some input regarding that plan. And so
you got like the PTAs and
absolutely.
Alumni and staff and general community, that kind of.
Indeed. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Department of DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services, comes in and sends people in for the foster youth to be a part of this.
Oh, those subpopulation groups also have somebody representing their concerns?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
We have folks coming in from our Native American Indian Education Group, which is a significant subpopulation in Eureka City Schools.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So everybody gets together and they sling the money around or hash it out?
Well, it's a little more structured than that.
Yeah,
But yeah, it has the potential of going that way because everybody has a little bit of a different priority, obviously.
Well, sure.
But it is structured, and the planning that goes along with that is pretty considerable. There are 8 state priority areas that we have that every school district in California has to meet. And then there's also some local priorities that you can include. So there is already a template for how you spend those dollars. What's important, so you have the base dollars, as Fred mentioned. Then for those 3 specialty groups, the English learners, the foster youth, and the students in poverty, you have to demonstrate through your LCAP how you are going above and beyond the base to provide services for that group.
So that standard is a minimum acceptable.
That is correct.
And you want to exceed it across the board.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so what happens is that you go through this planning process and you come to May or June where the LCAP is brought before the board for to be approved, hopefully. And from there, then it goes on to the county. And the county really is the oversight for district's LCAP. The state doesn't actually review the LCAPs, but they do provide the county with certain accountability measures that they have to adhere to. So you
need to get local approval.
Local approval.
And you bump it up to the regional authority, the county.
That's correct.
And they give their stamp of approval?
So last year was our guinea pig year for LCAP across the state. And so what the county can do is that they can either approve it outright, or they can send it back to you with required revisions. They give you a little bit of time over the summer months to correct that LCAP, to make sure it has each of those eight state priority areas and that each one of those different requirements are met.
And so this plan is approved at the board level just as the budget is?
That's correct.
They just happen to be coinciding with the same year, calendar or time frame.
They do, and I think Fred mentioned this, but the LCAP has to be approved before the budget, because obviously the budget has to reflect what's in the LCAP. That's how you're spending our dollars to support students. So,
KINS News and Information Times, 3:45. We'll be back with more from Michael Davis Hughes and Fred Van Fleck.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:48. Just a couple of minutes of shining light left in this show before we disappear. Fred, Michael, where does somebody go if they're looking at this plan, and they like looking at plans, where do they go to figure out? Or if they are, let's say I'm really concerned about the foster kid part. You know, I want to make sure, you know, these kids haven't got a lot of good breaks already. How do I make sure that they're getting their fair share or their just desserts, so they've got an advocate who might be better to help them out? Where do I go to find this plan?
So you go straight to our website, eurekacityschools.org, and on the front page there is an icon that's about the size of a business card on your screen, depending on how big your screen is, I guess, that says LCAP, L-C-A-P. Click on it. And there you have it. You will see last year's plan, and we are in the process right now of, updating, modernizing, redeveloping, whatever word you want to use, the plan, because the state has changed their template, and so we have to change the LCAP around to meet the new template and also update it to meet the updated priorities of the school district. And the good news about the LCAP is it's an evolving document that can always be updated at any time, and the board revisit it every time we revisit our budget.
Thanks for coming in, guys. Congratulations, I hope, Michael. We'll know about this time next year. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go ahead and make it a good day. And so we'll see you tomorrow.